Hello, it's Jill Burridge here, and with me in the studio this afternoon is Duncan Sales, who helps to run the Hertfordshire Domestic Abuse Helpline. Welcome, Duncan. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Tell me, when people phone the helpline, what sort of situations are they usually dealing with at home in order to have made that phone call to you?
They can be at varied stages. We know that people will usually suffer 34 to 35 cases before they will actually report a case of domestic abuse. But some, it will be the first time that it's happened, but it's usually, it will be after a number of events have happened that they actually identify that they are a victim of domestic abuse. But we also get perpetrators who actually identify themselves as perpetrators who will call the line for advice on how they can get help in adjusting their behaviour.
So there is some acknowledgement from the perpetrators, if they phone, that this isn't right.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of the programmes recently on soaps, The Archers and things like that, have really highlighted what domestic abuse is. And people do sort of see themselves both as the victims and as perpetrators.
What constitutes physical domestic abuse? Is it a slap or is it something more than that?
We used to sort of class everything as domestic violence, but people do sort of look at domestic violence as you've got to be hit to actually suffer from domestic violence, where actually it's domestic abuse because there's many different ways you suffer in domestic abuse. It can be violent, you can be assaulted, and a lot of victims are badly assaulted, but it can also be under all the other things like controlling behaviours, psychological, financial, sexual, things like that, which are all domestic abuse.
And you were mentioning The Archers and the soaps. I guess when there are very high profile storylines, as there was with The Archers earlier this year, that increases the number of calls that you get from the public. Is that right?
Oh, yes, very much so. When we see things like that, that does get people to really think about themselves and actually then contact to look for a way out and how they can improve their lives.
Mm. So they phone this helpline number, which we will give the details later on. And who will they get through?
They will get through to a volunteer. We staff the line between 9 to 9 Monday to Friday and 9 till 4 on the Saturday, Sunday. And it's staffed purely by volunteers who run the line from their homes. And the calls go through to them and then they are able to sort of offer some help.
So calls are diverted to people's home numbers so they don't have to be elsewhere?
Oh, no. The beauty for the volunteers is something that they can actually do from where they want to be, either at their home or they can even do it at a place of work if obviously their company agreed to that.
And when you say it's a helpline, what can the volunteers actually do?
The main thing with the helpline is that it signposts people to various different agencies. We've got over 170 different agencies that people can be signposted to. So the volunteers are there to listen and to actually offer who's best person to actually help the victim, perpetrator or professional person calling with their inquiry.
I guess if the abuse has been very violent, then your helpline volunteers would suggest involving the police. But that's not something that a lot of people want to do, is it?
No, obviously, if it's a real emergency case or something like that, the helpline volunteers would tend to try to direct through to the police, but some people don't want to be dealing with the police. So it's really, the way I look at it is we want people to get help, and it's the best way that they can get help, feeling comfortable with the situation. Sometimes going down the judicial system is the best way. In many other cases, it's not. So it's really sort of one size doesn't fit all.
And there are various charities, I guess, with whom you have very strong links. Which ones are those?
We're very much with work with Women's Aid, and we work with the other refugees, Safer Places, and other ones who can offer outreach work and also refuge spaces. So there's people like that. We have independent domestic violence advisors who, although they have worked closely with the police, are completely independent from the police, and actually they can work with our victims as well.
Does it sometimes take a long time for people to pluck up the courage to do something about domestic abuse?
Oh, very much so. And a lot of the cases are that it's very subtle, the way that the controlling comes into place. Often victims will meet their partner and, you know, and on the face of it, everything seems fine, and slowly but surely there's controlling that comes in place. That can be financial, that can be psychological, and it's just taking the power away from that victim.
And it's not something, I think I'm right in saying, it's not something that's perpetrated in a particular sort of social or class setting. It's right across the board.
Oh, it's right across the board, both heterosexual, same-sex relationships, yes, and many different cultures. It's right across the board. It affects everyone.
So you work right across the whole of Hertfordshire, do you?
Yes, we cover the whole of Hertfordshire and actually do receive calls from other counties, but we are geared up for Hertfordshire.
Do other counties have a similar helpline?
There is a national helpline, but no, we are quite unique in having our own helpline.
How long has it been going?
The helpline's been going just over 15 years. For the first 10 years, we were funded through Safer Community Fundings. But for the last 5 years, we've actually been a charity, which is great, and we're increasing all the time.
So did you set the charity up?
I worked it initially started with the St Albans Domestic Abuse Forum, and yeah, very much involved in setting it up.
And what was your background before? What did you do? Because I know you work full time now for the helpline, but what did you do before?
I'm currently a police officer, and I used to manage our harm reduction unit, which covers domestic abuse, and been very interested in how we can do other work helping victims. So that's why I got involved, very much involved in forums and running conferences and anything that we can actually highlight domestic abuse and how we can reduce it.
Because domestic abuse, it used to be called, as I think as you mentioned earlier, domestic violence. And it wasn't a sort of an area where the police often took action. I can remember sort of, you know, it's a domestic, so you didn't get involved.
No, what with the police, but many other different agencies. And it still is seen something that happens behind closed doors. With the police, we are very involved with it now. All officers do get specific training with domestic abuse, and actually to be able to identify domestic abuse victims and be able to signpost people how they can actually become a survivor, not a victim.
So you didn't have any training when you were full-time in the police force?
When I initially started, no, there was very little training, and the usual advice was go and see a solicitor and get a restraining order. But now, yes, things have moved on greatly, which is the right thing.
Yes, there has been a significant change, hasn't it? Not just probably within the police force, but all sorts of other...
Oh, no. Many different organisations have changed very much for the better. And it is. When you look at the cost, say, just to Hertfordshire, which is £350 million a year...
Is that what domestic abuse
costs?
£350 million a year.
Yeah. And what it actually costs to industry with people being off on sick, the effect that it has, it affects everybody. And plus all your relationships, the number of children that get involved. So, yeah, it's something that we do need to work at.
That's pretty staggering. And have you seen an increase in the number of cases reported in recent years?
Oh, yes. The number has increased quite dramatically, which is ironic, but it's good. It's the best way, because we are actually getting people coming forward to report it. In 2015-16, there was about 17,500
in Hertfordshire
cases, reported to the police. Police are one of the few agencies who actually keep real statistics on domestic abuse, but 17,500 cases. This year in the police, we've seen an increase of about 23% already, which we look at it in a positive, because people are coming forward. And until people come forward, we can't do anything about it.
No. Presumably, that increase is, as you say, it's a statistic in reporting. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's been an increase in the incidence of
domestic abuse. No, I would believe that there's so much has gone on, and it's people now feel more confident to actually come and report it, and whoever they will report it to, but feel confident that they can come report it to find a way out.
Mm. I mean, some cultures, different cultures, maybe have a different perception about domestic abuse, are more accepting, have a much more macho image for the men in society.
Oh, yes, yeah. And there are cultures where the male is still seen as the more dominant of the couple. And yeah, and it's actually breaking into some of those cultures to explain, well, you know, that might be the culture, but it's still domestic abuse is domestic abuse, and that's not right.
Mm. I was interested to hear you saying earlier on that sometimes the perpetrators ring up and want help. So do you have agencies that you can refer them to so that they can maybe get, you know, anger management or, you know, some better understanding of why they react in the way they do?
Oh, yes, there are perpetrator programs. But what we would do with someone who calls us and who actually gets on the perpetrator program, it's also to work with the victim as well, because you want to work with both partners so they both understand what's been going on, and, you know, so that you can support them both to get through it.
All right. Who runs those programs then?
Various different agencies, but you know, they're run usually through charities. Mm. But it was quite interesting. I ran a conference in October, and I had a survivor who actually came forward to speak at the conference. And at the end of the conference, she was talking about her perpetrator, who actually went to jail for assaulting her, assaulted her quite badly, but actually recognised that he was a perpetrator, accepted what he had done. And that's actually, by going on programmes, has actually changed. They're never going to have a loving relationship, but they've got children, and it means that they can bring up the children in a safe environment. So, that, you know, those sorts of things are really good.
And that is, thinking of children, that is the thing, that if there is domestic abuse in a household, it's very easy for children to see that violence and think that that's acceptable and practice it themselves.
Oh, absolutely. You know, anyone who says, oh, the children haven't been affected, they're upstairs at the time. No, even if the children haven't witnessed it or heard it, they're still, by the atmosphere, adversely affected by it. Mm. And often we'll be sort of seeing, boys will sort of see their dads as an aggressor, and will actually follow that dad and carry on. Until we break that cycle, it won't stop.
Yes. Funding, I guess, because you're a charity, so you have to keep fundraising as well as doing all the work.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. That's a big part of our work. It's also fundraising, apart from training volunteers. But yeah, well, we do get some funding from Hertfordshire County Council, but we do a lot of fundraising ourselves. We ran a quiz a few weeks ago where we raised just under £2,000. So it's good work, but it's a constant.
Yes, yes. And I guess when you say training, you provide training for the volunteers so that, you know, because it must be emotionally very demanding to be on the end of that helpline phone.
Oh, yes, yeah. The volunteers get a lot out of it, but we do support them. They have 2 days training, and not everyone who offers to be a volunteer gets through that training. So we do have quite high standards to make sure that the person is the right type of person who can listen and give advice, and then there's ongoing training after those 2 days, so they have you know, volunteer meetings. We also have clinical supervisions, because some of the times that they will be contacted, it can be sort of quite a harrowing story, so we want to support our volunteers and make sure they're all right.
So you're looking for volunteers who are resilient, really,
but
sensitive too.
Oh, yes, yeah, 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 yes, very much so.
Are there certain times of year that you find you get more calls than at other times of the year?
Yeah, times like Christmas, Easter, we see an increase. We do see an increase sometimes over the summer holidays. It's often when couples spend a lot more time together. We see an increase at often some sporting events, such as football, the World Cups, the European Cups, and we see our numbers increase. Some of that can be put down to sort of people increasing their alcohol content, but yeah, it's we see an increase at those times.
Mm. So having been involved with the helpline for as long as you have, you must feel quite a sense of achievement, because it sounds as if Hertfordshire has sort of forged the way, been a bit of a pioneer in this field.
Oh yeah, Hertfordshire is doing very well. The helpline is only one part of the Sunflower project. But yes,
the Sunflower Project.
Yeah, that looks after the whole of the domestic abuse. The various different strands of domestic abuse will come under the Sunflower Project, which run in Hertfordshire.
Excellent. Well, it sounds amazing work, and thank you very much for coming in to tell us about it, Duncan. Before we go, perhaps we better give the details of the helpline number.
Yes, absolutely. The helpline number is 0800 88 88 88 88 88. It's a free confidential line. Your details won't be taken unless you specifically wanted those to be taken. But as I sort of say, it's a free confidential line. Our website is Hearts DB Helpline. That's all one word, Hearts DB Helpline at hotmail.co.uk. The line is open from Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you ring outside those numbers, you will go through to an answer phone, and we will, you know, if there's a contact, we can come back to on that. Obviously, it's a new year. What about a new year's resolution? We're always looking for further volunteers. So if you would like to volunteer, please do get in contact with us. It's very rewarding. We have volunteers who are willing to volunteer even on Christmas Day, which is great. If you would like to support the charity in any way, once again, please contact us. The helpline number is 0800 88 88 88. Our website is Hearts DB Helpline. That's all one word, Hearts DB Helpline at hotmail.co.uk. We're always ready to take your support, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you.